venture. The engagement is for the grandly named Zurich Regal International Theatre, said Max, but rehearsals will be in London. What's that? Asked Susie. Zurich in Switzerland? That's right, darling. One of the English-speaking theatre companies. Susie's mood dipped. She knew that these little European troupes paid badly and had a very low, if not negative, value on the CV. They played to tiny audiences consisting mainly of expats. No one back in England heard a squeak about the shows put on, which failed even to get a review in The Stage, a newspaper which reviewed every play, musical, pantomime and end-of-the-pier show from Land's End to John O'Groats. The result was that, although an actor might be slogging away for weeks on end, as far as all the casting directors went, they might as well be dead. In reality, to Susie, an 8-week stint with the Zurich Regal International Theatre was another slide down the ladder. Or, in this case, was it the snake of success? But it was a great role. And it was at least a little money. And it would be a lot more fun to spend her time with other actors keeping busy rather than sitting at home alone gazing at the TV waiting for the phone to ring. Max gave Susie the address of the audition. N13? She asked. Where's that?
Palmer's Green, said Max. I believe it's the director's home, he laughed. So you can get to bellow out your handbag in his kitchen. Hope the neighbours don't mind.
Who is the director? Asked Susie, hoping it might be someone she had worked with in the past.
Reg Shoesmith. He does a lot of these sort of things. Hamburg, Vienna, Nairobi. Anyway, rehearsals start on Monday.
Susie finished the call with mixed feelings. In the mirror, she inspected the roots of her blonde hair. She had worn it in a Mary Quant pageboy style for probably over 15 years now, she realised. She had kept her figure, and at 5'7½", did she dare to admit she would make an imposing Lady B? Why not? She had been in the game long enough to realise that she must be being seen for a last-minute replacement for the part. No sane person would keep the casting of Lady Bracknell back until a few days before rehearsal started. It would have been one of the first roles cast. Therefore, the company was clearly desperate. Susie had never heard of either the theatre company or the director. But looking on the positive side, she was really in with a chance. A company of such low prestige, which could only offer to hold auditions in the kitchen of the director's home in Palmer's Green, should be so lucky to have an actress with such a strong CV auditioning for them. They'd be mad not to have her. The job would be a shoo-in. Early next morning, Susie eagerly got the tube and made her way to the address in Palmer's Green. For the whole journey, she studied the play, familiarising herself with the lines ready to deliver them with gusto. But once she was sitting in the director's living room, she realised that even this job was not yet in the bag. Far from it. She wished she wasn't lumbered with her rather cumbersome pink National Health reading glasses. But maybe she could use them to disdainful advantage when she was called in for her turn. Susie recognised at least three of the other women sitting on the two sofas, swatting their scripts, silently mouthing the words. She surreptitiously studied them. They were all actresses like herself who had once been household names. One had spent years as the leading lady at the Royal Shakespeare Company. Another played many major roles in every TV drama you could think of, while the other had even been nominated 20 years ago for a BAFTA, or was it an Oscar, for a supporting role in a British film. She hoped the others might be up for the part of Miss Prism, but no. Everyone was competing for the same role, Lady Bracknell, in Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest. It was therefore a great surprise when, next morning, Saturday, Max phoned and told Susie she'd got the job. Rehearsals were to take